wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning and said, wow, I thought she was going to wake me up. And he looked over beside the alarm clock and there was a note saying, wake up, it's 5 o'clock. So here's the mimes. They can do it. Praise God. You got your Bible, say amen. Go ahead and turn to the book of John. John chapter 21. Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church. John chapter 21. God is so, so awesome. You know, there was a gentleman in a hospital bed next to another guy, and he was covered with bandages from head to toe, and the guy said to him, what you do for a living? The guy says, I'm a former window washer. He said, when did you give that up? He said, halfway down. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, corny, amen. I had to keep the crow's eye of that one before I could tell it to you. John chapter 21. We were in John chapter 11 last week, and we're in John chapter 21 this week. God is so good all the time. Amen. John chapter 21. Stand for the reading of the word. Yep. God is awesome. Ready? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. Now you think this is just cool. Okay, I got some time on my hands. I'm going to go fishing. Well, I can tell you it's a whole lot more than that. There's some heavy stuff going on here. There's some heavy-duty problems in Simon Peter's life. They said unto him, we go also with thee. So it's not just in his life. There are some problems going on with all these guys. And we're going to talk about this problem that's going on with these guys. Because fishing in itself is not the problem. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught... I didn't hear nothing, huh? Okay, I didn't hear anything. All right. That's all right. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he answered them and said, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find it. It sounds like Jesus is renewing something in their spirit. Some of y'all in here today, you know what you really need is a renewal in your spirit. A fresh touch and a fresh inspiration from God. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded up his fisher's coat, for he was naked. Doesn't mean necessarily he was sunbathing. This meant that all his outer clothes were off. And he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish. And this is something that always kind of stuck in me, and I kept wondering. I did some research, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But it didn't just say the first time it said he caught so many fish that the boat began to sink. This time he actually says, and he caught 153. Wow. Why was it that God decided in his gospel, who wastes no time, wastes no energy, wastes no words, said there was 153 fish? And for all there were so many, yet not the net broke. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. This is the third time. Think about this now. The third time, the first time he came into the room, they were all locked in fear. The second time he comes in to show Thomas who he is, and then they didn't see him for a while. In other words, Jesus showed himself and let them think about it. He showed himself and let them think about it and stew on it. And then now it's the third time since he has been resurrected that he shows himself. After he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, yes, unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Then he said, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I want you to think about the lamb. The progression of this also has to do with the 153. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne. Father, I know there's nothing impossible for you, Lord. I know, God, that you're working in this place this day. I know, God, that there's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. And I know, Father, there's nothing that you will not do, Father, to help your children. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us. Father, help us to see you and understand you in a different way, Lord, and to walk out of here with a renewal in our spirit, a renewal in our mind. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. God's awesome. Yes, all the time. Now, here's what we're going to talk about this morning. Lessons from failure. How many in here has ever failed? How many here has failed lately? How many has failed today? If you didn't set your clock, that's one. Yeah, and if you didn't, you know, one year we did this. It was on Easter Sunday that the time changed. Years ago, we were in Benson. And I said it, and after I said it, my wife come along and didn't know I'd said it, and so she said it. The only problem was she said it the wrong way. We didn't have rivers and bents, and we didn't have on this one side always water. We had ponds, and so we were going to have a sunrise service at a pond. I get a knock on my window by one of the guys saying, "Wake up!" And I said, "My alarm clock ain't gone off yet." And I looked down and I said, "Well, the alarm clock ain't gone off. What's going on?" I said it last night, and my wife went, "Oops." I said it. Yeah, he left a note. Yeah, I set the clock. Amen. So again, here we go. We all face failures. We all have problems in our life, but you got to understand something. Failures are actually launching pads. Failures are launching pads. I want you to remember that now. We just started reading this story, and I want you to think very strongly as we go along here. We're going to talk about some failures in history. Did you know? Let's see this. Did you know that Henry Ford failed to put a reverse gear in his first car? You pulled up too far. Hold on, I'll be right back. Can you back up a little bit? Hold on, I'll be right back. He failed to put a reverse gear in his first car. Thomas Edison failed 1,000 experiments inventing the light bulb. They even asked him, said, 1,000 times to get a light bulb? He said, no, I found out. It took you 1,000 times to find out what would work? He said, no, it took me 999 times to find out what wouldn't work. All right. Abraham Lincoln. He lost 9 elections, failed in business twice, even had a nervous breakdown before being elected president. How many knew that? We hear it all the time. Shout to hear that one. Albert Einstein was dismissed from school because he lacked interest in his studies. He didn't walk until he was 4 and didn't talk until he was 7. Wow. He was dismissed from a school because he lacked interest in his studies. He failed an entrance exam into a school at Zurich and was later fired from a job as a tutor. Albert Einstein. Beethoven's music teacher said he would never compose any worthwhile music. Ha ha ha! I bet there's a pile in that man's face. Matter of fact, every time that guy says, "I," you know what he's saying? He's going, "I was wrong. I was wrong." Okay. Didn't make any worthwhile music because he didn't follow the rules of music composition. Plus, he was deaf. And then watch this. Michael Jordan failed to make the junior varsity basketball team when he tried out. And later, the school principal told him to consider enlisting in the Air Force Academy after high school, which would be his best option for a career. The greatest basketball player that ever lived. Amen. So let me just do this. Let me show you something here. The road to success is lined with failure. If you're not failing, you're not trying. Matter of fact, you know, I had a boss man that actually I could make mistakes, and he never really fussed at me. He asked me, "What have you learned?" And he said, "Now go and mess up with this no more." Like going, you know, don't go and like when I messed up with the paint and couldn't get the paint to work, and I put too much water in it, and then it kept dripping. And so he said, "Have you learned your lesson?" I said, "Yeah, you never wore down the paint." He said, "Good, go and thin no more." I was wrong. Okay. For some, failure, watch this now, watch carefully. For some, failure becomes a self-description. They're always talking about, I never do anything right, I'm always doing things wrong, I'm always getting in my own way, I'm nothing but a failure. Have you heard people say that? Have you said that? Amen? But for some, failure is a fresh challenge. Okay, I blew it. Let me wash off my knees, wash off my behind, get back up off the ground, and see if I can't do this right this time. Wow. Let me see if I can find out what I did wrong. Let me find out the 999 things that didn't work, and let me find out one thing that worked in that light bulb. For some people, failure is a restriction. You know you couldn't do it before, so you think, if I try to do it now, I'm a failure, so why even try again? Or if I do try, I'm not even going to give it all I got. There's people out here right now. There's people sitting in here right now. How long has it been since you gave it all you had? Do not raise your hand. How long has it been since you, especially after failing, found yourself refusing to give it all you had again because you said, I gave it all I had last time and I failed. And so if I give it all I got now, I'm going to fail again. So now I'm going to put the governor on and I'm going to keep it down. And I'm going to see you now. If I fail now, at least I won't have so much invested in it. Wow. There's a lot of people living that way. I talk to people every day that's living that way. Now, to other people, that fresh challenge is new opportunity. You know what? I can grow from this. Others can grow from this. I can really do a different thing for God. I can make a difference. And then to some that's got a self-description of failure, and they have restricted themselves, refused to give it 100% anymore, it's to their destruction. Most of the time when they get down, they stay down, or if they stay down, they get up just enough on one leg to just kind of do it. But the others, they look at it as a fresh start. You know what? I blew it. Things aren't going good. I know I could have done it a different way. But guess what? I'm going to make a difference no matter what. I'm going to make a difference. Amen. So now, watch this. Watch. The road to success is lined with failure. A lot of people just want to play it safe. I just want security. I want no risk in my life. I know that I've already failed, and if I try again, I'm going to fail again because that's my description, and because I'm going to fail again, I'm just going to handle the status quo. I'm going to find out I'm going to do just enough to keep it floating, but I'm not going to do enough to get it to shore. I'm going to do just enough to keep the balloon in the air, but I'm not going to do enough for the balloon to reach its destination. And so instead of being part of the team, you become part of the drag of the team. You pull back. And so you live your life pulling back. Now, don't raise any hands. And somebody, y'all need to quit pointing to that person beside you. You know, how many remember Douglas MacArthur? I don't think they even teach this stuff in school anymore. Douglas was MacArthur. You know, we talk about Eisenhower, how good of a general he was. But there was one better than Eisenhower. And that was MacArthur. But MacArthur and Truman, they had some parting of ways, and so Douglas MacArthur could have been a good president, but I think they kind of pushed him on the back burner. But he said, there is no security on this earth. There is only opportunity. Wow. No security. I'm scared if I try again, I'm going to get slapped again. I'm scared if I reach out, my fingers are going to get crushed. I'm scared if I try. Listen, there is no such thing on this earth as security. I've seen people. I had an uncle that had gone. He was in the Coast Guard. He went 20 years, and he had back problems. So he went back in so he could get his back fixed. He wound up pulling 30 years in the Coast Guard. 30 years. He had all those. You know, he was three up and three down. He was awesome. He pulled 30 years, and then he come home and he went to work again in a garage. He turned 65. And working with the bus garage. 65, he was getting ready to retire a second time. And he said, man, he was going to open up a garage at his house. Man, it was awesome. He had 30 years in the Coast Guard. taken care from that. He had all these years, 20 years, working in the bus garage. It was just awesome. And just as he turned 65, before he received his first Social Security check, he sat up in bed one night, grabbed his leg. The blood clot went to his heart and killed him. There's no security on this earth. I know other people on the way to minister get in a car wreck and get killed. Other people invest all this money in certain things and then all of a sudden it's gone. There's no, y'all look at somebody and say, there's no security on this earth. None. There's opportunity. Opportunity. Watch this. You've heard me say this before. The Chinese symbol for crisis makes up two words, danger and opportunity. Danger, opportunity. It's all in your perspective. You know, it's amazing. It's totally amazing how one person can look at something, get all excited, and say, man, we got a good opportunity here. Somebody else look at it and go, stay back. I don't want to do a thing. It's all in your perspective, what you see. And until you're willing to risk failing again, you will remain in prison in your own world of fear. There are so many Christians, we could do so much more for God. There's so much more we could do in this church. There's so much more we could do in our own life. There's so much more we can do for God. But we've got inside of us that self-description and that restriction and that destruction. And so inside of us, yes, we would want to do more for God, but when we start thinking about what happened last time, and yes, I got zapped, and yes, it hurt, and yes, you know, it was perfect what y'all did for that mime today. It was perfect. The songs were awesome, and then the mime, God, I'm not asking you to move the obstacles. I'm not asking you to get rid of this and that. I'm just asking you, Lord, I'm not afraid for you to break my heart. I'm just asking you, Lord, go ahead and put me on my knees. Because it's then when God can do something special for you. Now, let me just tell you a few risks you're going to have in your life. How many want to know at least a few of the risks? All right? Just a few. All right? Y'all look at it and say, oh, no. Okay, get ready. Life is full of risks. Do you know that love is a risk? Or faith is a risk? Love is a risk. Serving God is a risk. Financial investing is a risk. Career change is a risk. Following your dream is a risk. Stealing home plate is a risk. Marriage is a risk. Having children is a nervous breakdown waiting. I mean, it's a risk. I'm sorry, did I say that? Nervous breakdown waiting to happen? Okay. When you take the willingness to risk failure and couple it with sound wisdom and faith in God, nothing is impossible. Think about it this way. I'm not saying go out and do something stupid. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said the word stupid, okay? I'm not saying go out and do something unbelievable. I'm talking about when you couple sound wisdom with faith in God and not afraid to get knocked down, then guess what? God can do something. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, when we started our first church, I was feeling so uneasy on the inside because not only had I never pastored, but now I know I was going to go and have to start this church, and I was trying to find a building. We found a building, and then they're trying to get people, and the people wouldn't come in because it was a church of God, and they thought we were crazy. They're waiting for him to bring out the snakes, and so they stayed outside. But they wouldn't come in, and all kinds of stuff, and it was kind of rough, and I actually was having a hard time with it, and then I got moved from electrical at Procter & Gamble to engineering. And when I got put in engineering, my boss man saw something to me that he liked, and he made me project engineer. Next thing I know, he would bring magazines to me and throw them on my desk and say, look for these engineering magazines. And he said, if you find something you like or something you think will help the company, I want you to tell me. And he literally, whatever I asked him that he thought would make that company better, he would get the money and get the construction company and let me do whatever we were doing if he thought it would help the company. And what happened was it built my confidence up so much. The very first time, and this is back in the early 80s, the first project he gave me was a $70,000 project. The last project I had was $1.5 million back in the early 80s. My confidence level was through the roof because I was asking God for help there, and the same thing I said is going to be there is going to be in the church, and so I didn't feel so bad in the church anymore. I didn't feel so bad at work anymore because my confidence level was just out of the roof. You see, I realized failure was my friend. I could learn from failure. So here we go. Watch this now. We're moving on. I'm not going to keep you long today. If I fail to get you out of here, I'm sorry, my clock says it's only 10:30. We got plenty of time. Okay. Sometimes. No, she didn't mess with this one. I thought everything I got now, all our stuff now automatically changes. This one didn't. Amen. Okay. Sometimes failure hits us hard. I mean, it knocks us down, and we don't want to get back up. Just like it did with Simon Peter when he denied Christ. You see, he went out of the hall of judgment, and he wept bitterly. But let me tell you something. Weeping by itself is not enough. It hurt him. Man, it hurt him. Jesus said, He told Jesus, I would go to my death with you. He said, I would die for you, Jesus. You can count on me. I promise you, I will not leave. I'm here. I got it. And then when it got hard, a little bitty old girl says, he's one of them. And he gets scared and says, if I know him, and on the third time, if I know him, let God kill me. Jesus done told him he was going to deny him three times. And on the third, now he looks up at the judgment hall and Jesus stares him right in the eye. Conviction. And he goes out and weeps bitterly. Let me tell you something. If that's all that he did, then he would have been in the same spot Judas would have been in. That's all Judas did. Matter of fact, Judas just repented in his heart to himself. He felt sorry for what was going on. At least Peter, he is weeping, but his is directed toward God. So watch this now. If all you do is weep bitterly over your failures, you will never be any better off before having failed. You got to do more than cry. If all you're going to do is cry over it, then you're going to have a bunch of spilt milk. If all you're going to do is cry over your failure, then you're going to be stuck and you won't move forward because the tears itself, to begin with, they stop you. And they stop you so you can reevaluate. Then after you reevaluate, you have to look back to God. And that's exactly what happened here. So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Don't waste your sorrow. Use your failures to become better, not bitter. And remember, God never wastes your pain. Never. Somebody say never. God never wastes the pain that you were going through. So now that was my introduction. Five lessons. Remember, now you got five, so just count them. Five lessons when you failed. Five lessons that you can learn from failure. The first one is, failure is never final. Never. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. And he said, children, do you have any meat? And they answered, no. And he's just casting it on the other side. So, Peter felt so discouraged, and Peter felt so useless. He'd already seen Jesus two times. Jesus came in to him, and Thomas was not there. And so then he comes back again to show Thomas that he's there. And we think, well, now everything's cool. Jesus is resurrected. He showed himself to Peter. He comes in. He shows himself to these guys, and everything's cool. But you know what? Because he denied Jesus, he just couldn't get over his failure. There's people in here right now. You're struggling in an area of your life because even though you carried it to God, the failure still is like a fog over you. And you wonder, can God ever use me again? See, he failed. Jesus can't use me. So I'm just going to do what I know. I'm going to go fishing. But you see, the cool thing is, remember, failure is never final. The cool thing is, Jesus came seeking him. What a joy to know that Jesus comes looking for us when we failed. You know, Adam and Eve, when they failed, did they go looking for God? No, they hid from God. The same way, Peter, he goes out and runs and hides. But Jesus comes to him. It's amazing. Matter of fact, look, early in the morning, it speaks of a new day, a new opportunity. It speaks of a new beginning. You know, we can put the past behind us and we can reach for what's ahead. That's why I say the past is behind. When I first came here, I know that the church had some rough time. And I said, Lord, we need something we can say every service to put something in our mind and keep it in our spirit that a new day is coming. And then I was right here praying, and while I was in here praying, and the Lord told me, said, from Joshua, he said, I don't want you to look behind you. I don't want you to look to the left and the right. He says, I want you to look ahead, because behind you is pain. Some of y'all are carrying pain now. You're dragging it like Jacob Marley. Amen? You might not think everybody else sees it, but you're dragging that pain, and so you're going. Dragging that pain. It's just pulled behind you on a chain. On each side is problems. I mean, they're hitting you from the left, they're hitting you from the right. And God said, tell my people to look ahead because I am with them. And so that's when the Lord gave me, the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. I know sometimes I don't say it because I don't want to overdo it, but still, if you come to every Sunday morning service, 52 services a year, you're going to hear it at least 50 times. And hopefully 50 times may start to sit in our brain. Amen? So here it is. Failure is never final. That's number one. Y'all counting down now. All right. Number two. Failure does not change our status with God. The NIV and other passages say it this way. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Friends. They had blown it. Man, they had blown it. Simon Peter had blown it. Him and Judas were on the top. Oh, they all did the same thing, but Judas refused to come back. He just repented on his heart. And Peter, what made it so bad for Peter is he just got through telling Jesus, you can count on me. I'm not going to do it. You'll never catch me denying you. You'll never catch me falling back. And he had the biggest failure. And Jesus comes to him and says, even after he feels like he cannot be used by God again, please, somebody listen to this. You need to hear it. I cannot be used by God again. Yes, I have seen him. Yes, I have brought it to him. Yes, he has forgiven me. But I can't forgive myself. The failure is ingrained inside of me, and I cannot seem to get past this failure. And you feel like God's holding it over your head, and you have to repent over it every day, and you finally just say, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm just a failure. I can't do anything right. He comes to him and says, friends. Wow. Friends. He didn't walk out there and say, hey, you bums. Hey, you backslidden. Hey, fellas, you think you know who I am? No, he said, friends. You see, he called them friends the night of the Last Supper. It means that they were close to him, and he was close to them, and he's close to us. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses spoke with God as a friend. And now he is, even after they failed and felt like they're not even worthy to carry the gospel again, even after talking to God, see, I can't drive this point enough. I've been in the altar before, and I prayed with people, and as I prayed with them, they asked God to forgive them. I heard them. I heard them say, God, you got to help me get back up. I'm sorry for what I did. And then you watch, and they keep themselves regulated and the restriction on and the destruction mode going on, and I'm a failure mode, and they never really give it all they got again because they feel like God can't use them because they failed just too bad. They messed up! Let me tell you something. Anybody in here messed up any worse than Simon Peter? Walked side by side with Jesus at supper talking to him. And then he tells you, I'm going to be right here. And he goes, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Anybody here done that? And then say, if I know him, let God strike me dead. That's pretty tight. Okay? Think about poor Samson. I mean, Samson, he had everything at his fingertips. He was an awesome dude. But he winds up grinding meal with his eyes put out. But in between, when they pull him out for sport, he says, just one more time, God. One more time. Did God say, Samson, you ain't worth my time? No. David, after all the mess he did, when he died, what did God say his testimony was? He was a man after his own heart. God calls you friends. Friends! That's a powerful, powerful thing. So look, just because you've blown it, just because you failed, number one, failure's not final unless you want it to be. And number two, it does not change our status with God. Number three, failure can be transformed into success. Did you know that? How many know that, as a matter of fact, you know, I think about the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers were trying to get this. See, they didn't just, let me just tell you something about the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers just didn't invent the airplane. Because the airplane had been trying to be invented for years. And there were some things that were even kind of close to what they had. You know what the Wright brothers invented? They discovered the science of flight. So you got the Wright brothers discovering the science of flight. And Orville and Wilbur, one, they just couldn't seem to get this thing to get off the ground, but they couldn't do a whole lot with it. They couldn't get it to turn. I mean, but they decided to go to Kitty Hawk because that's where most of the wind was at. So they left Ohio. They went to Kitty Hawk and where the wind was at. And one day, Orville and Wilbur, one, I can't remember which one, they still couldn't get any control with this thing. And so he's sitting in the bicycle shop, and somebody come in to buy an inner tube. This is a little bit big for an inner tube box. Just pretend it's in half. Pretend Bernie Sanders has got it and cut this thing in half and get one on the other. Okay. And so, while he's talking, he starts going. And as he's doing this while he's talking, all of a sudden, he goes, that's it. That's how to make the airplane a success. That's how I make it turn. And so when they go to Kitty Hawk, they fix it so the wings now do this. You see, failed, failed, failed. But it didn't mean that he was a failure. Transformed into success. Because the Bible tells us in verse 6, he says, to throw out your nets. Throw out your nets again. They'd already had them out. They hadn't caught anything. They'd had a rough night. They're out there trying to fish. They hadn't caught anything. They're trying to do it their way. I told you one time before, my favorite song back when I was 17 was old. Y'all remember this guy? He was kind of famous in some places. His name was Elvis Presley. I mean, I had a bad year when I was 17 because Elvis died and John Wayne died. John Wayne hurt me a whole lot more than Elvis did. One of the last songs Elvis had on the radio was Regrets, I Had a Few, But Then Again Too Few to Mention. I Did It My Way. And so I'd go around thinking, I did it my way. I did it my way. And I went to work at Procter & Gamble and they said, it's our way or the highway. And so I quit doing it my way. And then I got with God, and God said the same thing. My way is the highway. Try again. You see, there's no shame in trying and failing. There's no shame in that. Remember, all the greats, there was always a failure before there was a breakthrough. Anybody ever seen working for God? They didn't just, you see people on television got this mega ministry and think, man, you know, man, they got it made. I remember listening to T.D. Jakes. How many likes T.D. Jakes? Awesome dude. He has like 10,000 people in his church and they're parking all around the block trying to get there and he's won it all over the place. And just last week, T.D. Jakes said, God told him that he would be preaching to a multitude. And for 7 years, he wrote sermons that nobody heard. He said, God, have you blown it? I know y'all have never said that. God, were you mistaken? God, did I hear you? He said, for 7 years, he couldn't get a door to open. At the end of 7 years, then he couldn't get the doors to shut. You see, God's got a timing. There's no shame. No shame in trying and failing. The shame lies in being too afraid to try in the first place. Jonah, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time while he was in the belly of that fish, that whale. Wow. The thing that amazes me about Jonah was in the fish 3 days before he cried out to God. I'd have cried out going down the fish's throat. Talk about a hard head. Amen. So now, here's the part I was going to tell you about. They caught 153 fish. Wow. Did you know there's 153 known at that time and known for years all the way up and through the first century? There was 153 species of fish in the Mediterranean Sea. 153 species. Now, Simon Peter didn't know that. God did. And so, when God calls them out to throw the net out, God makes sure they catch 153 fish. Wow. There's 153 fish in the Mediterranean. That's by Jerome, his early church father. So what it referred to was their success in evangelizing the world, that they were going to get them all. Don't think that you're not going to reach the world. You will. You will. Don't be afraid to try again. Matter of fact, I'm going to say something actually going to be kind of sound like it's harsh, and I don't mean for it to sound harsh. But some of us have never tried the first time. The reason we haven't tried the first time is because we saw somebody close to us try and get zapped. And so then we, instead of just risking getting zapped, we don't try at all. And it's a sad thing. A sad thing. The Bible says at the white throne of judgment, we're going to be standing around it. Now, if you get to the white throne of judgment and you're walking up to it, you're going to have a bad day. The Bible says that the Christians are going to go to the bema judgment seat, the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged going to heaven or hell. We're going to be judged for our works. But at the white throne of judgment, you're going to hear your sin. You've already been in Hades, and now you're going to be pulled up, resurrected with your body, and now you're going to go into the lake of fire. But you get to hear judgment. You get to see what happened, what's going on. I heard a preacher one time say this, and it tore me up. He said, can you imagine standing at the white throne of judgment as Jesus is pronouncing judgment and a man walks up and he sees you, and when they give him his judgment, you're going to hell, he looks you right in the eye and said, why didn't you ever tell me? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you ever insist? Why didn't you? As he's being marched off to the lake of fire. Wow. You see, I guarantee if you were to look in your net today, if you try again, you're going to see 153 fish, meaning completion. God's going to take care. He's going to do the good work he started in you. He's going to finish. Failure does not mean that you are a failure. Number four, watch this. Here, I'm getting close. See? Y'all see? And it's only 20 to 11. Failure does not mean you're a failure. Remember that? Your personal self-worth? Just because you failed does not mean you are a failure. To fail is an event. A failure is an attitude. I do not want the attitude of a failure. Yes, I fail. Praise God, I fail. I blow up so much I could open up a dynamite factory. So watch. He says, we're nearing the end now. Get ready. We've only got 14 slides left. I'm playing. Look, come and have breakfast. Wait a minute. If I was a failure, would Jesus want me to go eat with him? I mean, it's one thing for him to call me. It's another thing for him to help me catch more fish. But then it's really something when he says, look, not only are you my friend, I want you to come have lunch with me. I want you to sit down. We're going to have breakfast. I want you to eat with me. We're going to gather together. You see, this is awesome. Because the communal meal of close friendship is depicted so beautifully. And just think about this thing. You know, people talk about how, when I got saved, I stopped drinking and carrying on and started eating. Amen? Amen. So watch. Eating is synonymous with fellowship. Amen? Think about the bread and the fish remind them of feeding the 5,000. They remind them of the Passover. They remind them of the two disciples that saw him on the Emmaus Road. Failure, listen, failure does not have to permanently scar your life. It doesn't have to permanently scar your life. Now you know why you get a scar, don't you? You know, you get a scar because when you have an injury, all of a sudden the white blood cells, that's why you get the scab up there. The white blood cells are going up and trying to race to heal your body. And as it goes to heal your body, then that scar actually is not there to mark your injury. It's there to mark your healing. Oh, come on. Oh, y'all ought to be jumping now. Y'all ought to be throwing babies in the air. That's what that guy said. Don't throw any babies in the air. Look, the scar is not to mark your injury. The scar is to mark your healing. Wow. So now, yes, you got scars. If I think it's marking my injury, then it's going to mess me up. But I know that it's marking my healing. Praise God. Praise God. On my arm from that car wreck. Remember that car wreck I had those years ago? I still have an S on my arm. I said, God marked me salvaged. I can't get any collision insurance anymore, but I can get liability. Scarred. Saved. Salvaged. Special. Son. Wow. 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 Now, before it healed, it hurt. And I remember, Brandon, don't feel bad, bro. But I remember I was in here trying to do the Easter thing, and we were practicing, and I had that scar, and it was still hurting. And Brandon was climbing out of the tomb or something. I think it was Brandon. It was either Brandon or it was Brandon. And he reached out and he grabbed my arm, and he grabbed that scar. Remember that, Brandon? You don't? He grabbed that scar and it hadn't finished healing yet. And I went, oh! He said, I'm sorry, man. But after it, now look. See, it doesn't mark my injury. It marks my healing. And God gave me that S. Praise the name of God. I was in Walmart 2 days ago. And one of the clerks said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. He said, a personal question? I said, okay. You're going to ask me for my PIN number? He said, can you show me your arm? Okay. He says, no. He says, I've been kind of down lately. And I know God's got something. He said, can you show me your S? You see, scars to a Christian marks our healing, our safety, our protection. Just don't let Brandon grab it while he's healing. I'm playing with you, Brandon. That was fine. You didn't know. Okay. He's going, so what? It was 50 years ago. It's okay. All right. In Christ, old things pass away. All things become new. Jesus' invitation is, come and have breakfast. And then number five, somebody say, praise God. Failure does not disqualify you for service with God. Just because you fail don't mean God can't use you. Matter of fact, I would rather have somebody that failed work with me than somebody that never failed. I've noticed guys in the ministry. I noticed guys at work. I've noticed guys in all kinds of things. I remember even hearing Daniel talk about it. Daniel said something about over when he was over in Afghanistan. He'd much rather have a guy that had some experience with him. So if they got in a bind, the person with experience was not prone to run. They were prone to be there because they had been through something and it shaped them. I've seen people in ministry, when everything was going great, everything was hunky-dory, everything was fine. Man, it was awesome. But when they started going through things, hard things, their ministry, they thought their ministry was doing this. They didn't realize as they started going through things, their ministry started doing this. Because now you got a message. Your mess is a message. Something special. You see, Jesus gave him a second call. 4 years earlier, he said, come follow me. And he found he's the God of the second chance. So watch this. He goes and asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? How many times did he ask him, do you love me? Don't you think there's a purpose for that three times? How many times did he deny him? He denied him three times. Jesus didn't come back and say, dude, you blew it. Matter of fact, you didn't just blow it. You really blew it because you blew it three times. You were the man I thought was the man. I thought you would never mess up. You were the dude. No, he just said, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He said, for each denial, I want you to feel that I have forgiven you and have not disqualified you for service. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Fellas, come on up here and start getting ready. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, and Peter stood up and preached. How many were saved? 3,000. He denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And his very first message, 3,000 souls was saved. Wow. Our God's the God of a second chance. It's awesome. You see, here's this principle, the God of the second chance. We saw it with Jonah. God called him the second time. Jeremiah, God spoke to him the second time. Let me just show you something, and we're getting ready to close this out. No matter whatever failure you have experienced, God calls us to get back up by grace. You think God can't use you, that you've actually wore out your welcome with him, that you've gone farther than you've ever gone before, and now God just has written you off? No, God hadn't written you off, especially, let me just give you a little hint here. If you still feel bad about it, if you still have that hurting in your heart, if you still have that hunger and that wonder, it's not too far gone because God's still there and he's still convicting you. He wants us to get back to work for Jesus. You see, God's not finished with us yet. Just a matter of days, there he is. There's Peter saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The same one that went down is now being used. The very first miracles. That's another amazing thing. Before Jesus died, he went down. Peter did. And stayed down. The very first miracle. He's picking somebody up. Wow. God wants to use us greater than ever. But we've got to take the shackles off. We got to take the restrictions off. We got to quit calling ourselves failures. We got to quit talking ourselves down. I'm a child of God. I'm not perfect by no means, but praise God, I am forgiven. I may not know it all, but I know something. I may not can do it all, but I can do something. And remember this, none of us can do it all. None of us know it all. But guess what? All of us are smarter than one of us. All of us are more powerful than one of us. And I pray all the time, God, don't let me be the drag. Not giving it my best shot because I'm scared. I'm going to fail again. I want you to look to the person beside of you right now and tell them, it's okay. I promise you, you'll fail again. That was encouraging, weren't it? Hold on. Now look back at him and say, with every failure, tell him, comes a launching pad for something greater in your life. Praise God. Is that better? Okay. Yeah. Woo! Everybody stand. We got plenty of time. It's only 10 minutes to 11. Right now, if you have a need from God, I'm not going to give any specifics. Just come on up here. Maybe you have failed and you don't think that you're even in a category where you can be used of God again. Come on up here. Maybe you just need God to touch you in your spirit, touch you in your body, touch you in your mind. Come on up here. Maybe you just need God to enlighten you. Come on. All that will, come on up here. Remember, failure is never final unless you want it to be. Failure does not mean you're a failure. It does not change your status with God. It does not disqualify you for service. And it can be, and it can always be transformed into success. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. God is awesome. Come and pray. All that will. Whatever your need is from God, come and pray. These altars should be filling up right now. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Okay.
Well, sure.
How he loves you. Oh,
Thank you, Lord. Glory. 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 Just because I have failed does not mean I'm a failure. My failure is a launching pad. A launching pad. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, it switched on me, didn't you? Yeah, I failed. It's okay. See, I just failed then. He's playing one thing, I'm singing another. That's okay. It's a launching pad for success. Somebody will sing it right. I noticed when Daniel stopped singing, I'm singing all by myself.
In the garden.
On everybody, I want you to raise your hands. I want you to repeat after me. Failure is not final. Failure does not change my status with God. Failure can be transformed into success. Just because I failed does not make me a failure. And failure does not disqualify me for service. With your help, Lord, let me get back up. Let me put aside the chains and let you use me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank Him, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and thank Him, church.
With me,
my wife has gotten some rough news from the doctor, and there's some crazy things going on, but you know what? God's in control. Y'all come on up. Come on, fellas. Come on up, ladies. Whoever wants to pray, come on up here.
As we tarry there, none other shall ever known. Eve speaks, and the sound of His.
You love her, Lord. I love her. We love her. And Father, we know, Lord, that the enemy's trying his best to discourage and bring down. But Father, we know, Lord, that you're an awesome God. You can handle this. I ask you right now to touch my wife in the name of Jesus. Minister to her mightily in the name of Jesus right now. Let her feel your power. Let her feel your anointing. Let her feel your touch. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. God, as she's going for these tests, Lord, let the doctors be amazed at what you do, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 I love you. I'm sticking a earring in my mouth. Like I was wearing braces. Tuesday night, We've been talking about hope. Hope. We're getting close to the end of the hope at the end of my rope. And we'll go on to something else, but please, yeah, tie a knot. Look, if you can come, come. If you cannot come, there's always pamphlets back there or pages. Get them. Put them in a notebook. Clip them and put them in a notebook, because this stuff we're doing Tuesday nights is stuff that helps you minister to people. This is training. Tuesday night is actually training. So you can be learning stuff. When somebody calls you and you start hearing them talk, you can go, wait a minute, I remember reading that. And you go back over and there's a guide that'll help you guide that person through whatever they're going through. It's not all inclusive. There's all kinds of things. You still need a spirit to talk with. You still need God's assistance and power and anointing. But still, you got that thing. You got help. You got ammunition. How many times you said, I wish I could remember what was said, or I wish I had something, some kind of guide is right there. It's awesome. Amen? Amen. God's awesome. Amen? Amen. Look at somebody and say, my failure is not final. I will fly. I will fly. I will fly. Amen. Brother Steve. Thank you.